Welcome back to the Ralco Radio Saskatchewan Day of Caring for Wildfire Relief. Jamie Nye, Locker with you here on the Green Zone on this Thursday afternoon. Still to come, Britton Gray will be in on the Riders injury report that was just released. Looks like AJ Ouellette and Roland Milligan Jr. have cleared concussion protocol to likely play Saturday. But Thomas Bertrand-Houdon landed as an out for this week. So maybe Kadeem Carey.
Groin, right?
Yes.
For TBH.
Maybe Kadeem Carey will play this week. Maybe with AJ Ouellette. We'll see what that depth chart looks like tomorrow. Britton Gray will also preview week two of the CFL. And also Drew Remendo will be in just past 4 o'clock as we break down game 4 tonight. The predictions are coming in on the text line at 1-877-332-8255. Dallas says Oilers will take it in the third with a 3-2 win. Glenn says the Oilers will win. Even if I'm a Calgary Flames fan at heart, the score is going to be 4-3.
Wayne? Not so optimistic.
But Glenn also predicts it'll be Corey Perry just before the end of the third with the game-winning goal for the Oilers.
Okay, Glenn.
And Wayne is like me. We're picking the Panthers to go up 3-1.
He's also saying they're going to win the series, that they're going to walk away with another cup. Back-to-back Stanley Cups winner in Saskatoon.
More predictions. Send them our way at 1-877-332-8255 here on the Green Zone. But as we continue our coverage of the Saskatchewan Day of Caring for Wildfire Relief, Aaron Buckingham joined the Evan Bray Show earlier today. He's the vice president of the Saskatchewan Volunteer Firefighters Association, and he is amongst the crew that were up there dealing with the fires in our province. And Evan started off by asking how this all started for he and his crew this wildfire season.
So we were alerted a day before that we may have to deploy our department up so we could get everything ready. This is not our first deployment as Britannia Fire. We've been deployed to Isle of Crosse, and we were in LaRonge in 2015. So we have a pretty good idea of what we had to do to get ready. So we just put all that stuff together, and by 1:30 or 2 o'clock the next day, it was like, we need you guys here tonight. And so we hit the road, got our crews together. And, you know, the fire community is one of those things that is so extremely strong. I sent crews from my own department, but we also gathered a couple of extra members from our surrounding departments in Legacy and St. Walburg and District Fire Rescue. And we grabbed guys there. We sent a crew of 7 and 3 trucks. And, we didn't even know a couple of these guys. And everybody's together and straight down, nose down, straight to work. And it was a really good opportunity.
How well and how easy is it, Aaron, for firefighters from all corners of the province to come together, some of them full-time professional firefighters, some of them volunteer firefighters? Is it seamless in the ability to work together in a situation like this?
Yeah, I think, you know, everybody is out there working with a common goal, right? So we get tasked every day with the jobs that we were done. Like, we were brought up as values protection specialists, and it sounds like a fancy title. That's property protection. So we're not necessarily fighting the front line of the forest fire. We're looking at values protection, so properties and people's livelihoods. You know, that's what we were up there to do. And we got sent to multiple different places, and we're successful in all of our property protections that we were assigned with, which is great. And, that's what it's all about. It's about the people. You know, our Volunteer Firefighters Association in the province, a huge thank you to all of those departments when the call went out that put their hands up and said, yes, we can send people. Mm-hmm. A huge thank you to all of their employers who said, you know, we had people go into their employers saying, hey, I could be gone tomorrow for 14 days. What do you think? They're like, yeah, you're going to fight wildfires and help communities. We'll give you the time off. Go. Our guys and girls can't do that without the support of their employers. You know, so it's big. And I couldn't be prouder of the number of departments from the province that stepped up immediately and said, yeah, tell us where you need us and we'll be there.
Can you walk us through a day, Aaron? What does a day look like for a firefighter? I can't even imagine.
16 hours. That's the, 14 to 16 hour days we were putting in when we were working up there. And, you know, I kind of laugh to myself every time. If you're familiar with the movie Armageddon, when Owen Wilson says to the people at NASA, what's it going to be like on the rock when we get up there? And they start describing it to him, and he says, okay, stop. All you had to say was worst case scenario, like worst possible case imaginable, right? So you think about that, and, you know, it's hard work, it's labor intensive, and we were tired at the end of the day. But that's nothing compared to the struggle of the people that are affected directly by these fires. Mm-hmm. This is what we do. You know, we met so many folks when we were protecting their properties. We were around cabins and outfitters' lodges, and we get values protected. protection on a gas station, you know, and them, that's their life. That's their livelihood, and we're there to try and help them. The stresses that those folks are under and the pressures they're feeling, and they were doing things on their own to try and make sure they were protecting themselves before, you know, people were able to get to them necessarily. And I can't even imagine what those people were going through when we got there. You know, we talked to these people and they said, man, you know, we've been at this for a while and we're so grateful that you guys are here, and how people brought us food to the lines. Like the community, really, every community we were in, I was as far over, I was to Prudence Point at Tobin Lake. I was up to Little Bear. We were staying at the John Bosco camp, and those folks were amazing to us. We worked alongside Choiceland Fire. Doug and his team at Choiceland, my team owes a great gratitude to them for how they took care of us. But when you talk to these people and the relief they felt once we worked a fire around their property, did backburns, did whatever we had to do to protect their property, that's the win. You know, I can be as tired as I needed to be, as long as we were helping those people. You know, when I got home from deployment, the next day I had a sore throat and I kind of felt like I had a flu. But the whole time I was up there, I guess you're just running so hard on everything, until I got home and started to decompress a bit. It was a different feeling. Those folks up there are still living in that. So I have a huge amount of respect for what those folks are going through. Firefighters will do what we do. We'll do it gladly. We'll do everything we can to help you. But we're not the ones living in it. They are. And that's an unimaginable thing. So when we're talking about raising funds and trying to help people today, think about what you would do if that situation hit your community. And it is unthinkable.
That is a great message from Aaron Buckingham, Vice President of Saskatchewan Volunteer Firefighters Association, joining Evan Bray earlier this morning on the Evan Bray Show. Speaking of donations, a shout out to the South Saskatchewan Community Foundation. They have donated $15,000.
Come on.
To the Saskatchewan Day of Caring for Wildfire Relief. Of course, another total coming up at 4 o'clock. We will announce the grand total at the end of our Day of Caring, which is just before 6 o'clock. We'll announce that final total as well here on the Green Zone. But we want to hear more from Aaron about the communities that he's actually being a part of now and what he is seeing from even those who are staying back to help him.
Boots on the ground, right?
Helping them. Yeah. Next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Damian Locker with you here in the Green Zone as we continue our Rocco Radio Day of Caring for Wildfire Relief. You can go to CJME.com, CKOM.com. That is where you can find the link to donate now. Another total coming up in the next top of the hour at 4 o'clock. We're now over $300,000 with that $15,000 donation from the South Saskatchewan Community.
We're getting Foundation. Some big donations coming in, like big,
a lot of
one-time
great
donations.
Local companies and people trying to help the best they can. Remember, dollar for dollar match by the federal government today. Still to come, Britton Gray on the Riders. Drew Remenda on Game 4. The predictions are coming in. Monica doesn't have a good feeling about this tonight. It is a 4-2 Panthers win for Monica. Jamie from Warman doesn't have a prediction. He just has a hope that they don't embarrass themselves like they did in Game 3. Okay, well, see if
it's
that
gonna be
holds.
A bounce. Jamie, it's going to be a bounce back, okay?
I think it might be a bounce back. I just don't think they're going to win. But as we continue our Saskatchewan Day of Caring for Wildfire Relief, more from Aaron Buckingham, the Vice President of the Saskatchewan Volunteer Firefighters Association, speaking with Evan Bray about what he just mentioned, which is being in communities that he's helping the best he can, but they're offering him help, and what that really shows him about our province.
It's Saskatchewan at its best. It's all the best of the volunteers. Last time I was on your show, I talked about how proud I was of the volunteer fire service in the province, calling them the best of the province. Well, then the best of the province met the best of the province. These folks were amazing. We were protecting a buffalo ranch one day, and all of a sudden the gentleman comes up, throws me a box, says, "Here you go, thanks for everything," and didn't really stay long. And I opened the box, and it's full of buffalo jerky and pepperoni sticks. And, you know, that's the kind of thing that was just happening. They knew we were out there. They knew we were working, and they showed up. And, you know, just they're amazing people from corner to corner of this province. And I'm so proud to have, I'll call them friends now. You know, a few of those first 3 days of values protection we did around a number of properties, I could go up there tomorrow, and they'd let me stay at their house. You know, they just, the relationships we made with those people, and then of course working with other fire departments and meeting them. And you know, if I have a flat tire going through the lake at Choiceland, I got somebody I can call on. You know, it's an amazing group of people, and my heart still goes out to them and what they're going through and the fears that they have. That's the story.
Aaron, we've seen video, and it's so dramatic. We've seen truckers, for example, who are bringing supplies in many cases, for the firefighting crews on the front line, bursting through dense, dark smoke and flames that are leaping over top of the highway. Can you describe what it's like being in the middle of all of that in the north? And the weight that it takes on you as a person and other firefighters and emergency personnel?
Yeah, I don't think any of us think about the weight of it. We're all there to go as hard as we can, and I know that we all, on my crew, and I'm sure it's the same with all the crews from across the province that deployed, we just did what we were told all day. If it was a 12-hour day or a 16-hour day, we did what had to happen. We had, you know, an 18-hour day of the one day up there. So it just, it is what it is. Those people, though, up there are just amazing to us. Going in those front lines, it's a safety thing. You know, as people are going through, what people don't maybe understand about being on the front lines of the fire, because we did end up in a few spots, is what we call widowmaker trees. So the fire is burning in the ground. It's peat moss, and you know the kind of country we're in up there between Candle Lake and Smeaton and Choiceland. And so what happens is the roots burn off the bottom of these trees, 60-foot-tall spruce trees, and you hear the crack and trees start coming down. So when we're working in there, we have safety watch on at all times, because I stepped into 2 feet of white powder ash with brown leaves on top that weren't even burned. So it's under the ground coming up. That's how it travels there too, not just what you see in the pictures from the tops of trees. So the danger is that the road that we took going home had trees cut all over it. So one night we just took our chainsaws and we opened up the road on the Hanson Lake Road and just bucked all the trees off there and got it open. But that's the thing. That's the scary part. The fire itself is scary, but it's the dangers that the fire causes mm-hmm. that are the scariest parts for me as a leader, and watching my crews and making sure that they come out of there safe. But those are the kinds of things you're dealing with, not just active flame, it's falling trees and winds and that type of thing. And it is, I put a lot of water in one spot at one point, about 12,000 gallons it took me to deal with one tiny spot that I thought was going to be easy, right? So it's a different world.
Yeah, for sure. Aaron, you've painted some pictures for us to help us understand what goes on up there. You've talked about the generosity of the people in the north in showing their appreciation for the emergency crews that are out there. This has been a great chat. Again, I appreciate you joining the show.
Hey, my pleasure. And again, you know, donate today. I mean, these folks, just try and put yourself in what these folks are going through in that Candle Lake over to Tobin Lake area. You know, and the people in LaRange and the people in Daenerys Beach and all the places that have been affected by this, it breaks my heart. People say, oh, you firefighters are amazing, and oh my God, you did this and you did that. It is not about us whatsoever. It's about the people that this affects. And so when we're doing a day like today, like you guys are doing, and thank you for doing it, just remember those people that have lost everything and those people that are scared that they will.
That is Aaron Buckingham, Vice President of the Saskatchewan Volunteer Firefighters Association. He was joining Evan Bray earlier today. And as Evan said, it paints the picture of what the volunteer firefighters are doing, what the pro firefighters are doing. Well, they're all pros.
And the danger, too, right, Jamie?
You think of as he said, the wind whips up and those trees that all of a sudden don't have any roots, they start coming over. It's extremely dangerous that they put their lives at risk to help, you know, as his crew was doing, which has helped to protect properties and homes in those areas. This is the Saskatchewan Day of Caring for Wildfire Relief. We are over 12 hours from 6 to 6 tonight. In partnership with the Canadian Red Cross. Of course, our last total was just shy of $300,000, but we will give you another update at 4 o'clock. Again, cjme.com, ckom.com, right at the top of our web pages. That's where you can find that Donate Now button with the Saskatchewan Day of Caring for Wildfire Relief. Time now for the Green Zone 1 Minute Drill, the latest in sports. Well, it looks like Kadeem Carey might be making his Riders debut in his first week on the job, as Thomas Bertrand Hudon is now ruled out. AJ Ouellette is available, but he'll need a backup running back for Saturday's game against the Hamilton Tiger Cats. Now that game is 5 o'clock. The Green Zone pregame show at 3, again, live on location, Acre 21 Boston Pizza, for our watch party this Saturday, where we'll also be watching Game 5 of the Stanley Cup Final, but it's Game 4 tonight. Oilers trying to even the series with some roster changes. Jeff Skinner looks like he might draw in for Victor Arvidsson. Connor Brown might move up the lineup to play with Connor McDavid and Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. You have Stetcher potentially coming in for Klingberg as well. And it's NHL Awards night tonight. Who will win the Hart? Who will win the Vezina? Will it be the same guy? Connor Hellebuck is up for both awards. Meanwhile, it was another Lady Bing trophy for Anze Kopitar of the LA Kings. Coming up next, Britton Gray with the latest on the Riders and previewing week 2 of Canadian Football League action next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Singing long live the night. It's a song coming on. It's Thursday. I have permission to play this song. Week 2 of the CFL kicks off tonight with the Winnipeg Blue Bombers' first game of the season. They had a bye in week 1. And now they will play the BC Lions in week 2. Britton Gray's stepping in for a preview of week 2 in the CFL and an update on the Rough Riders. But of course, it is our Saskatchewan Day of Caring for Wildfire Relief with the Canadian Red Cross. So donate now. CJME.com, CKOM.com, still to come. A member of the Canadian Red Cross is going to join us, Mia Holloway-Chuck, who's talking to those who
she's
some
up
of them
LaRange, right?
PA talking to some of those PA. Going back to the LaRange area. We will have Mia Holloway-Chuck coming up as well a little bit later on this afternoon. Drew Romendo with a preview of Game 4 of the Stanley Cup Final as well.
Dave Cairn dollars are also being matched by the federal government.
Dollar for dollar match from the feds today. Another total coming up at 4 o'clock. But Green Zone Rider reporter Britton Gray, a co-host of the Blitz podcast with me. The latest episode is live on YouTube.
And the fastest growing podcast in the CFL. Fastest growing Canadian.
Might be in the world. Based on Locker's math. Remember, this is all based on Locker's math.
Okay, I also have a prediction because I don't know if anybody knew this, but Spotify went down earlier today. And when did it go down? Right after you guys launched the Blitz podcast.
All those hits just brought her
crashed
down.
It. Sunk the Spotify ship.
I'm sure that was it. Check it out, youtube.com at GreenZoneSK for a preview of week 2, a rehash of week 1 for the green and white. But, Britton, let's start with the Riders. Today, injury report comes out. Thomas Bertrand-Houdon out. Are we seeing Kadeem Carey, number 29, on the roster tomorrow, you think?
I would assume so, because you expect they would address at least one backup running back, and I would think they're going to go with Kadeem Carey over Mario Anderson, just because Kadeem Carey, you don't have to have him here too long. He knows the system. He's a talented back. Put him out there. I'd be interested to see if he does get on, what the split does look like during the game.
Yeah, what can we make a prediction as a backup, as to somebody that's brand new? You know, obviously he's aware of the offense, but is there, you know, a possibility he gets 1-2 carries a quarter? What do you guys?
It might be a bold prediction question on the Green Zone pregame show with myself, Daryl Davis, and Belton Johnson.
All right.
So I'm not going to say my answer.
You're not saying?
Because I'm going to hold that for Saturday. Britton, what do you think?
I think you'll see 12 carries for A.J. Ouellette and about 8 for Kadeem Carey. They reach that 20 mark. I think they will get there.
Almost an even split between the two. But how much good news is it, Roland Milligan Jr. and A.J. Ouellette available for Saturday after having to go through concussion protocol from their hits last week?
I mean, very good news. Well, in terms of A.J. Ouellette, he's the starting running back. He is the personality that also kind of drives the offense. He gets guys fired up. He's one of those guys, goes on a long run. He'll celebrate, get the guys going around him. You can't really replace that. And, I mean, Roland Milligan Jr., he's the best defender in the CFL. He's great at pass defense. The Riders, when they missed Roland Milligan, Drew Brown ended up throwing for 413 yards. That defensive backfield missed their guy because They have to switch people around. Roland Milligan is the top defensive player in the CFL. He has the award to prove it. So obviously getting him back is big for that defense.
So we have some injuries, though. As lucky as we are that we're getting the two main starters back on the offense and on the defense, AJ and Milligan. But we do have some other injuries that could impact this team. How much of an impact do you think, Britton, injuries will have?
Keen Schaefer Baker is going to be a big one, the starting wide receivers. It looks like, I would imagine he ends up on the 6-game injured list when the depth chart comes out based on what I saw in the locker room with him in the walking boot on the scooter there. So that's a big one. But unfortunately, this team has had to kind of, over the past few seasons, ride the waves without Keen Schaefer Baker. He's been dealing with some injuries the past few years. So hopefully he gets back soon. But Mitch Pickton will go in. He's one of the steadiest wide receivers in the CFL. Whenever he gets in there, it feels like Trevor Harris or any quarterback is looking his way because they trust him to be in his spot. So it's going to be a loss because Keen Schaefer Baker might be the toughest receiver to bring down in terms of one-on-one tackling. He breaks tackles at a crazy rate. But they do have this year depth to plug a guy in, and you don't feel like it's a disaster if you lose someone.
Britton Gray is joining us here on the Green Zone with an update on the green and white. Of course, that depth chart comes out tomorrow. Week two starts tonight, Thursday Night Football. It's the BC Lions in Winnipeg as Nathan Rourke, clearly the best player in the Canadian Football League after his week one performance against the Edmonton Elks, plays the Bombers tonight. But tonight is a pivotal moment for Britton Gray's thoughts on Nathan Rourke. Why?
I just think that people might have taken their victory lap on predicting Nathan Rourke as being the best quarterback a little too early. It was against Edmonton, who is a team that has struggled mightily. But if he does well against Winnipeg, I'm willing to concede more that, yes, Nathan Rourke's back. He might be the best quarterback in the league. But until I see it against a defense like Winnipeg can have, I'm just not ready to say, he's back. He's number one player in the CFL after an average first half, came back and beat the Edmonton Elks.
Average first half.
Willing to concede. Like, what does that look like?
If he goes out and tosses 3-4 touchdowns, I'm willing to say he's probably the best quarterback in the league again.
Just this week?
I'm willing to say that.
Can we wait until he plays the Riders in week 4? That's where I'm at. They'll go back-to-back against the Bombers. We don't know what the Bombers' defense is going to look like.
You guys just keep moving the goalposts here.
That's
what it smells like.
This is where I'm setting my goalpost. He's set his at week 2.
Start sending your crow recipes in now, everybody, because I think tomorrow is going to be an ugly day for you two. 877-332-8255. That's my thoughts.
I bet you put it at about 250, smoke it for 2-3 hours, just low and slow, maybe baste it halfway through.
Yeah, there's a crow recipe. Some basting in that.
Is anybody out there actually eating crow? Is there a human being who's that? I imagine there's a few that have actually eaten crow.
Probably Xavier Leggett. He's the guy who eats the weird stuff, right? Didn't eat raccoon or something?
That's right.
Yeah. In the NFL?
That was him.
Might be him.
Okay. Let us know for
he also crow hunted recipes. Them. Like, that was the weird thing about that.
We have the Alouettes and the Red Blacks. We have the Stamp. Oh, sorry. Let's go to Zach Collaros next. He's not playing tonight, of course. He's not playing because...
Yeah, what do we expect from Strebler?
I expect a lot of running, a lot of scrambling, a lot of backyard-esque football from Chris Strebler tonight, and I'm predicting the BC Lions to beat the Bombers.
Yeah, I think so, just because I think there's enough firepower on BC, even though I think Winnipeg will try to keep this a low-scoring game and really grind out the clock with Brady Oliveira. There's enough firepower with BC and Nathan Rourke to at least...
Is that an upset, then?
Not with Chris Strebler as the quarterback of the Bombers. If it was Collaros, maybe, but...
No?
If the Bombers go down, there's not a lot of faith in Chris Strebler airing it out to lead the comeback.
All right.
What else do you have this week? We have the Alouettes, Red Blacks, Stampeders, Argos. I know you're picking the Riders over the Tiger Cats. Yeah. We can get into that tomorrow. But what do you got for the rest of the week, Brent?
Montreal over Ottawa, only because Drew Brown isn't playing. If Drew Brown was, I would be taking Ottawa to win that matchup over Montreal. And then, I mean, Calgary's, it's Nick Arbuckle.
This is where we disagree. I'm taking the Argos. You're taking the Stamps this week.
I just think Calgary, Vernon Adams Jr. looked really good at points. There's some, at least a little bit of positive momentum from the Stamps with, it's Nick Arbuckle. Outside of the Grey Cup, we've seen Nick Arbuckle play Canadian football, and it's not always pretty.
I got Nick. I'm on your side, James.
Yeah. Nick beat the Stamps last year in Toronto in his first start. So I think he can do it again this year.
It's a whole new team in Calgary, though.
That's my problem. It's a whole new team. They're going to have their growing pains.
Got some new blood in Toronto, too, with the Argos. So,
yes, that is true. But I just that a
young
lot
running
has,
back.
Like, coaches have changed in Calgary. All that stuff, it seems like Toronto's just a little bit more of a stable organization. That is Green Zone Rider reporter Britton Gray. Of course, the Blitz podcast is out on YouTube. Locker prefers Spotify because he looks at us.
I have to look at you, yeah.
In the office.
You guys are
every
excellent
day.
On Spotify. The Blitz podcast, Canada's fastest growing CFL podcast. Check it out, ladies and gentlemen.
According to math by Locker.
Show me numbers to prove me wrong. And I'll take it back.
As we continue here on the Green Zone, of course, all Britain's coverage, CJME.com, CKOM.com. Do you have an Oiler prediction for us tonight?
I think Florida wins this one.
You've been really good at it.
So congratulations, because I think Florida's going to win.
We're getting an Oilers win for sure.
There you have
it. Didn't have to do that for me. But I appreciate it.
But I also think the Florida Panthers are going to win, so that probably double your luck on the Oilers' victory tonight. Coming up here on the Green Zone, this day in sports history, a one to remember as Max Talbot became a Pittsburgh hero on this day in sports history, plus more of our coverage. It is the Saskatchewan Day of Caring for Wildfire Relief. All six Rocco radio stations, Canadian Red Cross, raising money. A new total coming up in about 15 minutes from now. If you can donate anything you can give, CJME.com, CKOM.com is the place to go today. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
Pembridge Farm remembers.
Playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs?
Here comes Bailey. He's got it. 9-8-4, a world record for Donovan Bailey and a gold medal.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
Which better time as me? I'll be back.
On this day in sports history is actually a day Connor McDavid continues to strive for. But it was a day that reality hit for Sidney Crosby of the Pittsburgh Penguins. It was on this day, June 12th, 2009.
Max Talbot, there he is again, forechecking, right in on Brad Stewart, who stayed with the puck, turned it over, score! Max Talbot! Here's a two-on-one, Talbot with Kennedy, Talbot shoots, he scores! Scramble draw comes to the point, Rafalski shoots, knocked down in a man, scramble, Lidstrom shoots, and a tremendous save by Fleury. They've done it! The Penguins have done it! Sidney Crosby and the Penguins have won the Stanley Cup!
Game 7 against the Detroit Red Wings, after losing in 2008 to those same Detroit Red Wings, Sidney Crosby is given his first Stanley Cup from Gary Bettman as the Penguins win 2-1. Max Talbot scored both goals for the Pittsburgh Penguins in Game 7. It was on this day in 2009.
You think he'll ever get another one?
Free Sidney?
Free Sid.
If he gets out of Pittsburgh, he can win
Free
another
Sid.
One. Sentiment. Get him to Toronto.
Stop it.
Has there been a Sportsnet piece on that yet? On Sidney Crosby's interest in going to Toronto, or just Connor McDavid?
Yeah.
Montreal is probably more likely than Toronto, because Montreal was actually Sidney Crosby's team he cheered for as a young man growing up in Nova Scotia. He was a Montreal Canadiens fan.
He's staying in Pittsburgh. He's got too much of a connection with that organization. It's so like what were they thinking? Bringing Kyle, like what is that? Someone explain that to me.
Well, now you have Mario Lemieux and some other people trying to buy back the Penguins from the Fenway Sports Group. And I wonder if Mario Lemieux's first task at hand would be firing Kyle Dubas and hiring a new general manager. And
I wonder if that's the most. I didn't even think of that. I saw that story and I bet you they're like, we need to buy this organization back so we can fix it.
I wouldn't doubt
100%.
Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone. We have a lot more coming up when it comes to our Ralco Radio Saskatchewan Day of Caring for Wildfire Relief here on CJME and CKOM, as well as our four other stations. Of course, Rock 102, C95, Z99, Jack 94.5. As we all come together with the Saskatchewan Day of Caring for Wildfire Relief with the Canadian Red Cross to raise money for those impacted. The last total we brought you was just under $300,000. That was at 2 o'clock. Since that time, we've had a few donations in the 2 o'clock and 3 o'clock
Some
hour.
Big donations, too.
Absolutely. $15,000 from the South Saskatchewan Community Foundation, and I know more businesses will be stepping up in the next few hours. We'll announce the final total at 6 o'clock, but keep it right here as we will announce a new total right at 4. Time now for the Green Zone 1 minute drill, the latest in sports. Also, keep your predictions coming for the Oilers and the Panthers tonight. 1-877-332-8255. Yes. It's kind of mixed out there. Some Panther picks.
I'll put up a Twitter poll here too, Jamie. Right away.
We'll see who Saskatchewan will be voting for to win game number 4 tonight. Game 5, of course, our watch party begins at 3 on Saturday, Acre 21 location, Boston Pizza. Find us there for the Green Zone pregame show ahead of the Riders and the Tiger Cats. 3 o'clock is our pregame show. Game at 5, Oiler game at 6. As for the Rough Riders, AJ Ouellette, Roland Milligan Jr., both deemed available for Saturday's game after suffering concussions in game number 1 of the season. No Kian Schaefer-Baker, of course. He got injured early in that game. No C.J. Avery, no Thomas Bertrand-Hudon. So maybe we'll see Kadeem Carey make his debut. And also in hockey, it's awards night. And it'll be soon announced who will win the Vezina, who will win the Hart. Although there's some speculation, it'll go to the same guy, Winnipeg Jets goaltender Connor Hellebuck. Coming up next here on the Green Zone, we'll get a preview of Game 4 tonight with our NHL analyst, Drew Remenda, next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.